And he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece, a line of 12 cubits to compass either of them about. And he made two chapters of molten brass set up on the top of the pillars. The height of the one chapter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other was 5 cubits. The net of checker work and wreaths of chain work, chapters which were upon the top of the pillars, 7 for the one pillar, 7 for the other. And he made the pillars and 2 rows around about upon the one network to cover the chapters that were upon the top of the pomegranates, and so did he for the other chapter. The chapters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. The chapters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates also above over against the belly which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in row round about upon the other chapter. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. And he set upon the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished. In the 7th chapter of 1 Kings, we read of Solomon meticulously preparing and building and erecting the greatest, most spectacular place that's probably ever existed on the face of the earth. The temple of Jehovah, the temple of God. David had this on his heart, but Solomon took up the work. And it was one of the most beautiful, most splendid, most spectacular buildings that had ever been constructed. Even to this day, it's one of the great wonders of the world. As you moved upon the porch, there were these 2 brass pillars. These columns that represented something very special. They had great significance. Actually, because they had significance, Solomon gave them a special name. He gave one on the right, Jachin, and he gave the one on the left, Boaz. Now, these words mean something. They have significance. Actually, if you do a little study in how the temple in Israel was constructed, you'll find out that these 2 particular pillars served no mechanical or no structural purpose. They were just sitting there as ornaments upon display. There was nothing that they held up. There was nothing that was placed on them. They were just sitting there as they went in to minister before the Lord, the priest, or anybody that went to worship Jehovah God had to pass through these 2 pillars. And Solomon gave them a special name. Now, I realize there are a lot of ministers that take the temple of the Old Testament and how Solomon built it, and they can take every little thing and make it mean something. I mean, they can take the lily work, and they can take the pomegranates, and they can take the wreath work, and they can take every little thing, you know, and they can designate it to some specific thing within the New Testament, or they can directly link it to Christ. And I've heard messages like that. Now, I'm not as gifted in those things, I suppose. I'm not as much of an allegorical kind of preacher. I'm more cut and dry, black and white kind of thing, kind of preacher. But I do believe that there can be a linkage between these 2 pillars in the temple and the church of the true and living God. If you look in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, there the Apostle Paul was writing to the young minister, and he was talking about going to church, and he said, you know, he was writing to them and instructing them on how to behave at the house of God. Actually, the church is referred to as the house of God. And he said, that you might know how to behave yourself at the house of God. I'm going to tarry. He said, but when I do arrive, I'll take care of these things. He said, but this house of God, he said, it's very special. He said that the house of God, the church of the true and living God, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, I think that's significant. I think that's very important. The church of the true living God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so as we look into these Old Testament pillars that have great significance, I don't think they necessarily, they might have had reference to the cloud by day and the fire by night. They may have had some other significance that they served, that Israel would notice as they came into the temple. But I think it was a memorandum. I think it was a memorial. I think it was to remind anybody, the priests, anybody that came into the temple of God to worship, is that the Lord is the one that established this place, and the Lord is the one that provides the strength. He established the religion in Israel, and actually he was the one that sustained and gave strength to Israel. Now, when we move into the New Testament, I believe that the temple of the Old Testament is an emblem, is a token, is a symbol of the church of the true living God. I also believe that there are things within the temple that specifically represent Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I don't want to make this some kind of a deep message, but these two pillars were very significant. They meant something. It was an emotional thing. It was a spiritual thing. When they saw them, it gave them courage. These huge brass pillars upon the mountain in the court on the porch of the temple that could have been seen for miles. Those of you that have been to Israel, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you can imagine that sun reflecting off of those pillars, I mean, you could have seen it for miles throughout the land. And it provided a strength to be able to see that, hey, the thing that is that exists in Israel was established of the Lord. And the Lord will provide strength. You read on, like in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 13 through 17, and you'll read that once the temple was destroyed, they were very meticulous. They took a special notice. They were very peculiar and particular about taking those two columns and completely and comprehensively destroying them. Why? Why did even the enemies realize that these two pillars that served no function, they were just simply on display? Why did they want them destroyed? I'll tell you why, because when the people of God saw those two pillars, they were strengthened on the inside. They were encouraged. They knew that what they were in and what they were doing was established to the Lord. Not only that, but the Lord would help them and provide them strength to accomplish what he has established. Amen? Yes. So, the church, I think, is something that was established to the Lord, don't you? Huh? The Lord established his church? Yes, he established his church. He said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank God for the church that Jesus Christ established. It was through that church that I heard the gospel. It was through that church that I came to know things about eternal life. It was through that church that I received blessings. I believe that the blessings and the glory that's to be given to Jesus Christ is to come through His church. He established it. He established it. So, the church is, in a sense, His temple. Actually, look in the book of Ephesians, and it talks about the church being a habitation of the Spirit. You know, what made the temple so special in Jerusalem is that God was there. God was there. The Shekinah glory that came down upon the Holy of Holies, and that's what made the temple so special. And that's what makes the church special. Yes, yes. We assemble together. And for the inhabitation of the Spirit, we're referred to in the book of Ephesians as a temple of God. I believe every stone in the temple needs to be hewn out by the Holy Ghost. You know, we have a lot of people today, and they're members of a church, but they're not saved. That's a problem. Amen. Amen. One thing I contend for, one thing the Bible explicitly states over and over and over again, is that the church that Jesus set up is set up based upon regenerated people of God. I believe in a regenerated membership. Amen. You must be saved. You must be born again of the Spirit of God before you can be a church member. If you joined a church and you weren't saved, you just joined a country club. Amen. You didn't join the church. It's made up of lively stones, Peter said. It's made up of people that have experienced the grace of God, had a work of grace in their hearts and in their lives. Listen, my friend, if you're a member of a church and you've never been born again in the Spirit of God, if you've never repented of your sins and truly put faith in Jesus Christ, you need to remove that from your mind and remove that from your heart, and you need to find the Lord. Have a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you can get baptized, and it means something. Amen. Now, I still haven't figured out why First Baptist rebaptized 84 of its members, some deacons, and I don't know, unless they weren't saved first when they got baptized before. I don't get it. I still... Brother Vanderpool and I talked about that, and Brother H.C. Vanderpool and I talked about that, and we still haven't figured out why they go rebaptizing their deacons and members. And I appreciate somebody who, after being saved, you know, holds on to that commitment they made in the beginning in water baptism. Somebody who has a loose grip of that, I have little appreciation for. The church of the true and living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, is made up of lively stones. Lively stones. People that have something within them that's alive. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen, when the Lord comes into your heart and your life, it changes you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in trespasses and in sin, but when the Spirit of God came into you, you were made alive. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, because they are passed from death unto life. Yeah, amen. Death unto life. There must be a new life that comes into you that didn't exist there before. A new life. A new and living way. Yes. And then you are a candidate for baptism. You can go into the waters of baptism, and that burial and that resurrection, it means something symbolically, because it means something to you spiritually. All right. I heard one preacher one time say, as he was talking about the temple being put together. You know, when the temple was put together, there wasn't the sound of a hammer or a saw or anything, an axe. There was no noise at all when the temple was put together. No noise. Isn't that miraculous? Heard one old preacher preaching on this one time. He's talking about the temple and talking about the church, and he suggested that the spiritual building, the church, he said that there should be no discord. There should be no clamor. There should be harmony and accord, peace and love in the church. We have way too many churches, and there's too much of the sound of a hammer, too much like the sound of a saw. There's a lot of buzzing going on. Oh, come on. We're not like other organizations. This is a divine institution that was set up by the Lord. It needs to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. It needs to hold on to the truth. It needs to hold forth the truth. It needs to hold fast in the truth. My friend, listen, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you have an obligation and responsibility to set forth the truth. Amen. We need to defend the truth. We need to stand for the truth. We need to live in the truth. We should be filled with the truth. I tell you, if you don't know the truth, you need to, because it's the truth that sets you free. The Bible says that God's word is true. Jesus said, "Thy word is true." Jesus himself is the fullness of truth. We read where he is not only the way, but the truth and the life. We read in the scriptures where we are to worship God in truth. Listen, we got to obey the truth. We need to love the truth. We need to learn the truth. We should judge things by the truth, like I preached Wednesday night. We need to speak the truth in love, as Paul said. We need to walk in the truth, and we need to uphold it to a lost and dying world, because you, my friend, that are lost and in your sins, you need to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Amen. Yes. The world's believing a lie, but the church upholds the truth. I don't care who it hurts. It's not our truth, it's God's truth. The truth will set you free. The truth is, you're lost and in your sins. You're a transgressor. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, he went on and said, it is written, there is none righteous. None righteous. The prophet said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You're a sinner. You're lost. You're under condemnation, but there's good news. Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God for the truth. Praise God for the truth. I remember when I was lost and heard about being under condemnation and on my way to a devil's hell, I embraced that truth. The Holy Spirit showed me that was true, that I needed to be saved, that I needed to be born again, that I needed eternal life. And I knew that the only way to obtain that was not through some works that I could do, but it was through the grace of God and through putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day I turned from my sins and I looked to the Savior, I was born from above. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Thank God for the preaching of the truth. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. Not only is the church the pillar and the ground of the truth, but in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, we read in the book of Revelation where that Jesus said to church members. Now, okay, I'm going to tell you what I believe about this. When he talks about these church members of Philadelphia, he said, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in my temple. Now that's what Jesus said. The church members that overcome. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. I will make them a pillar in my temple. I assure you this, those people that are forsaken to assemble themselves together, they're not pillars in the temple of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. people who are not living the Christian life or even striving to uphold the truth, those who do not support the church with their prayers, their finances, and their presence, they can't be pillars in the church. We talk about pillars in our community. Jesus is saying that person who gets saved, unites with the church, plugs himself in or herself in, and serves God fervently and zealously upholding the truth of God, that person will become a pillar in my temple, Jesus said. Let me say to those of you that sometimes get discouraged because you're working and you're serving and you're here and you're plugged in and you're sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing for the church and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that souls might be saved and that the doctors might be upheld, and you get discouraged because there's other people that do nothing and seem to get away with it. They're not. You be a faithful member of the Lord's church. And Jesus said, that person that overcomes and serves me fervently and zealously, I will make him a pillar in my temple. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Yeah. Listen, we do. Oh, each one of us have an obligation to uphold the truth. All right, so good church members can be a pillar in the temple. It's right there. Read it for yourself, Revelation chapter 3. But in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, the apostle Paul was talking about Peter, James, and John. He also said these people seem to be pillars in the church. He was talking about the apostles, or he was talking about ministers. I believe ministers of the gospel are represented in the New Testament as pillars in the spiritual temple. I believe it's obvious to me, according to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1, where it says, thus wisdom is said to build her house and hewn down her seven pillars. The sacrifice that ministers have made through the years, endless hours in the Word of God, those midnight calls, those runs to the hospitals, the runs to the funeral homes, the run to the bedside of the sick or the one that's hurting or discouraged, the times that they've spent their endless hours upon their knees in prayer for their congregations and for the people of God and for the Word of God, and that we might have the strength of God. Those times that the ministers have made sacrifices for their family, and their families have made sacrifices as well for the church and for the progression of the gospel. They're described in the Bible as pillars in the church. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, we read, they are pillars. Many of the ministers have been a great strength to me, and they have helped to establish me in this ministry. I'm thankful for the older ministers that have served God faithfully through the years. Man, a lot of them, when I was young, you know, 30 years ago, they took me under their wing, Brother Perrigo, you know, and he helped me, he guided me, he governed my studies and my ministry, and I'm thankful for their faithfulness. Amen. You know, it helped to establish me and strengthen me to see that they were faithful no matter what. No matter what, they kept their eyes on Jesus. Kept their eyes on Jesus. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, they lived a life worthy of following. And I thank God for them. And definitely they are pillars in the church. Now I realize today there's and I wasn't going to get on this. My goodness, how did I go in this direction? I realize today there's very little respect for the pulpit. Do you guys realize that Paul, when he preached, spent a couple of years with a group of people at Galati, when he was at Galatians. He spent a couple of years with some people and they got saved and a church was established. He wrote a letter back to them and said, you know, you guys love me so much you were willing to pluck out your own eyes for me. Anybody want to, most people just want to scratch my eyes out. I want to, you know. You know, they don't want to, they wouldn't be willing to pluck out their own eyes for me. Have you guys ever read in the New Testament the kind of admiration, the kind of respect, the kind of love? Have you ever read where it says to give an elder, a pastor, one who ministers in the word of God, double honor? You ever looked up what that word honor, double honor means? You ever read that? You know, I mean, there's passages in the word of God that are scary. I mean, like, there's that one passage in Hebrews that says, obey those that have rule over you in the Lord, for they must give an account. In other words, I'll stand in judgment for my watchfulness over this church and this church and the church members here. I'll be held accountable in judgment for how I ministered to you, how I served you. Isn't that true? Amen. I will. But you also will be held accountable for how you responded and how you reacted. Amen. You will. I didn't mean to go there. But just as the New Testament talks about the two olive trees and the two witnesses, there are two pillars. Don't worry, Brother House, I'm not going there. Two pillars, Jacob and Boaz, and they stood on the porch of the temple. And just as the people entered into the temple, they saw these two pillars that were given these specific names. Jacob, having reference to the Lord establishing, he will establish. Boaz, he will strengthen. I think the significance of these two pillars can be found in the church today. Every time we go to the church of the true living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, every time we go to church, a church that Jesus established, we should see his doctrines established there. We should see spiritual, Holy Ghost strength given to that people. And I thank God that through the 37 years of Victory Church, we have remained established on the Word of God. Listen, there's a lot of churches today, and they're not established on the Word of God. They're established on heresies. You know what heresies are? Man-made doctrines. They're not established on the truth. There's a lot of churches that aren't established on Jesus. Listen, if you're not established on the Word of God, and you're not established on the truth, you're not established on a sure foundation. Listen, there's no greater foundation can be laid than that which was laid by Jesus Christ. We must be founded on Christ. Must be founded on Christ. We need to be established on Christ. Amen? He will establish. There's a lot of churches that have decided that they're going to make up their own ways. You know, do things their way. Listen, we must get our direction. We must get our leadership. We must get it from the Lord. I even believe that preachers that stand up here and preach need to get direction and leadership from the Lord. Just like the old prophet said, when Jesus or God called on him to be a prophet and said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? I tell you, when we preach, we need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, come to me and show me what to preach. Amen. Yeah. Cry. Well, what shall I cry? He said, all flesh is grass. He said, you rip on the depravity of man. You show them that their lostness and their need of eternal things. And I'll tell you something, my friend, today, if you're hanging on to material things, if you're hanging on to what you see, you need to look to something that you cannot see. You need to look by faith to the one who died on the cross of Calvary to save you and experience eternal life. I'm trying to close. We're established on the rock of ages. Amen. The church is. Yeah. Aren't you glad you're not established on men? Amen. I'm telling you, the very God of heaven established the church. Amen. Yeah, it was prophesied in the book of Daniel. Praise God for the establishing of this church. Where God himself would establish this kingdom. And I'll tell you, of this kingdom, there will will be no end. Amen. Yeah, there's been a lot of times through the years we've been tossed about. There's been some unsettledness in the church. There's been some moving around. You know, those seven churches of Asia, I'm not sure if there's any churches sound in those seven regions of Asia anymore. I don't think there are. They were moved. Moved. There was a reason for that. There's a lot of heresies. I tell you, the devil's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. He's out to take away the truth, the doctrines that we uphold. He's trying to get us off on our soteriology and our theology. Listen, my friend, we have to stay firm on the Word of God. When we come into the house of God, we got to say, these are not the doctrines of men. These have been established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it's going to get rough out there. The Lord tarries his coming. It's going to get rougher and rougher and more difficult to uphold the truth. It is. The government is even threatening, you know, our tax-exempt status. I don't even care. You know? I wish every church did pay taxes. How you like that, government? You know, that's nothing to me. I don't care. You know, you're not going to threaten me and, you know, where if I feel like I need to support some political party, I will. You know? You're being threatened. You know, it's getting bad. You know, where you can't preach out against sin. That's bad. Amen. Do you guys realize where we're going in this country? You know, everything's just accepted and nothing's immoral. And, you know, you just, it's getting bad. If we are taken into custody and imprisoned, we should be undaunting, our faces like a flint. We should stand up on the truth of God's holy word and proclaim it to this world. Amen. Compromise has never helped anybody. Amen. Never, never. The visible church of Jesus Christ, we've been subject to a variety of different things, but we're established. And when we need strength, he's there. Every man, right, man? You know what I'm talking about? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He has strengthened the church down through the ages of time. He strengthened the church through the dark ages. He continued to maintain the church through the dark ages. And I assure you that when he splits that eastern sky, there'll be a church here upholding his truth, established and strengthened of the Lord. Well, I'm trying to close. I said that already, didn't I? I want to close. Look, people, we can't preserve ourselves. We can't secure ourselves. We can't maintain these things ourselves. We need the strength of the Lord. And I want people, we have a lot of guests and visitors. We're glad you're here. But actually, when you come to our church, though they're not, we don't have these two pillars, though I thought about, we need to take these louvers down, put two pillars up here. Maybe I shouldn't have suggested that. That's 270-ish. We need to get back, one, Jacob and Boaz. The Lord has established us, and the Lord will strengthen us. Amen? He has established Victory Church, and he has strengthened Victory Church. And he will continue to help us and establish us as long as we stay faithful to him. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Really, it's not about what you think about it. It's what the Lord has said about it. There is no doubt in my mind. I have given myself to the study of God's holy word. For 30 years, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Victory Church is a church that has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No doubt. Listen, if I didn't feel that way and know that in my heart and according to the scriptures, I would go somewhere else.
Amen.
This is one of the Lord's churches. And when you come to the Lord's church, you need to see those two pillars with the eyes of faith. That this church is established in the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. This church gets power, amen, Holy Ghost power. As Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. We get power from God to see souls saved, lives changed. We have been sustained by His power. I tell you, there's been some very vulnerable times where the enemy has come in, but we've got somebody stronger than the enemy. Amen? We got Jesus. Yes, He has defeated the devil. He defeated the devil at Calvary. He defeated the last enemy, which is death. He is risen. He is Lord. And when He walked into the heavens, the angels began to sing, "Lift up ye gates, O ye heavens and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord strong. Strong. Strong in battle. The Lord is our strength. And the Lord has established us. Listen, as we stand and sing the close of this service, God bless you. I appreciate you being here. I love God's truth. Amen. I love His church. I tell you, it's a precious thing to be a member of the Lord's church. I love the truth. I know it's not popular. You know, you preach the truth and you stand for the truth. There's some people out there that aren't going to like you. Amen? They won't like you and they'll try to threaten you and want you to back down. Listen, we're not going to back down because these things are not established by us. They have been established by the Lord. They're His doctrines, His teachings, His kerygma, His precepts, His truth. It's not ours. It's His glory. It's to Him be glory. Amen. He's established these things. And whatever is thrown at the church in the future, He will give us strength. Let us stand. Sing a verse of some psalm to stir our hearts. Are you established in the church? Are you established on truth? Are you receiving strength from above and from the Lord? If not, listen to me. It's available to you. And those columns in the church and in the hearts and lives of the people of God, you've seen them. You've seen a person established in the Lord. You've seen a person receive strength from the Lord. That's not by accident. No. That's not by accident. That is to get your attention. To show you there's two glorious pillars of establishment and strength. And you need to walk through those in your worship to the Lord as we sing.